someone from a respectable family, and spend the rest of my life decorating and hosting charity galas. There was nothing wrong with any of those things. They just weren't for me.
And now you're a hotshot publicist.
We turned the corner, and the square came into view.
Let's say you and your father are still talking. What would you do if he said he'll cut you off unless you quit your job and marry some polo-playing douche named Gideon?
Touché. I'd tell him to fuck off, which I basically had. Though ironically, I dated a polo player named Gideon in high school, and yes, he was a douche. That earned me a soft laugh.
Your turn to be honest,
he said.
People's reputations and livelihoods depend on you. Are you ever scared you'll fuck it up?
Sometimes. I was confident in my skills, but like everyone, I had my moments of doubt. Was I giving my client bad advice? Did I use the wrong turn of phrase? Should I have pushed them to do an interview with this outlet or that one? The second guessing was enough to drive me out of my mind. But at the end of the day, I had to trust my gut. But that's the thing about reputations and livelihoods. They can be rebuilt.
Careful, Luna. You sound almost optimistic.
I rolled my eyes, but a smile threatened to escape as we wound toward the Palace of Justice, anchoring one side of the plaza. You make it sound like I'm doom and gloom all the time. I'm a fun person. I frowned. Just because I don't go clubbing every night or party on yachts every weekend doesn't mean I'm not fun. Stop doing that.
Doing what?
Javier asked innocently. Making that noise. I can hear your skepticism. It was stupid to take offense, considering my job wasn't to be fun. But I knew how to have a good time. My friends and I met for weekly happy hours in New York, and I'd reluctantly agreed to a lap dance during Isabella's bachelorette party. I danced on a tabletop in Spain, for Christ's sake. Granted, I'd been wasted at the time, but it was the action that counted.
I didn't say a single word. What you infer from my noises is on you,
Javier quipped. If manipulating semantics were a job, you'd be the CEO, I muttered. Wait a minute. I came to such a sudden halt. The tourists behind us almost crashed into me. No. My heart picked up speed until it thrummed like a trapped hummingbird. It can't be that simple.
What?
Javier demanded. He glanced around us in case of trouble. I replayed the reading of the will in my head. I was almost certain. No, I was positive I was right. I have it, I said breathlessly.
Have what? You gotta give me more than that, Luna.
I have a solution to your problem. I grabbed his arm, too excited to contain myself. Your father's will says you have to assume the CEO position. It didn't specify what you have to be the CEO of. Javier stared at me. Tourists streamed around us, muttering their annoyances in various languages, but I could practically hear the gears cranking behind those dark eyes. Then slowly, so slowly it dawned like the sun over the horizon, a smile blossomed across his mouth.
Sloane Kensington, I like the way you think. Chapter 17. Javier. My father's funeral came and went in a blur of solemn faces and whispered condolences. I gave a brief eulogy at Sloane's and Eduardo's insistence, and spent the rest of the memorial floating between numbness and hyperactivity. My brain hadn't stopped churning since Sloane and I returned from La Candelaria. We made it back to the house without being ambushed by reporters and confirmed with Santos about the will's wording. She was right. My father hadn't specified what I should be the CEO of, which was a glaring omission for a man with a famed shark-like business sense. But that was a question for another day. After Santos's confirmation, things moved quickly. We gathered the rest of the inheritance committee, as I called them, and explained the situation. Dante was the only missing member since he couldn't make it to Colombia for my father's funeral, but Eduardo looped him in via email. It boiled down to this. My first CEO evaluation was in 6 months, which coincided with my 30th birthday. That meant I had half a year to figure out how to fulfill the will's terms. Meanwhile, Eduardo would remain interim CEO of the Castillo Group while the company searched for a permanent leader. 6 months to become CEO of a company that didn't exist and that had to pass muster with the committee at the first evaluation. Easier said than done. The greatest gift we have is time. My mother's pocket watch weighed heavy in my pocket as I entered the Valhalla Club's bar. It was a week after my father's funeral and my return to New York. I'd spent the past 6 days brooding over my situation, but it was time to get off my ass and do something. I ordered the club's signature drink and glanced around the dark-paneled room. Valhalla was an ultra-exclusive club for the world's wealthiest and most powerful. It had chapters all over the globe, and I was a member thanks to my mother, a descendant of one of the founding families. My father had made his fortune, but my mother had been born into money. Despite my coveted membership, I rarely hung out at Valhalla. It was too stuffy for me, but it was the only place I could think of where I wouldn't run into my New York circle of friends. They were fine for a good time, but they weren't who I wanted to see in my current state of mind. The bar was quiet this early in the afternoon. I was one of two people sitting at the counter. Several stools down, a perfectly put-together Asian man with glasses and a bespoke Del Monte suit observed me with polite curiosity. "No comment," I said before he opened his mouth. I slid the bartender a $50 tip when he brought my drink and drained half the glass in one swallow. Kai Young lifted an amused brow. The CEO of the world's most powerful media conglomerate wasn't the type to ambush someone with questions about a family member's death. But you couldn't be too careful. "I heard you were back in New York," he said, tactfully ignoring my rudeness. His polished British accent fit seamlessly into our elegant surroundings, whereas I felt as out of place as a penguin in the Sahara. "How are you doing?" "I'm drinking at 1 in the afternoon, I said. "I've been better." If Sloane were here, she'd say my day drinking was par for the course. Luckily, she was too busy catching up on work to be on my ass about the CEO thing. Though I wished she were here anyway. After having her around 24/7 for over a week, I missed her. "If it makes you feel better, you're not the only one." Kai tipped his head toward his glass. "I had a meeting earlier with a techpreneur who's convinced he's the next Steve Jobs. Hence the scotch. I have to drown out an hour's worth of misguided god complex." I snorted out a laugh. Sounds like Silicon Valley. Misguided god complex. If only I had one. It would make things easier. I had a degree in business, which was a precondition for accessing my trust fund when I graduated. But I'd never started a business. I didn't have the luxury of flying under the radar. If I failed, I failed in front of the entire world. If I didn't try, I would lose my inheritance. And yes, I recognized the irony of trying to grasp something I resented, aka my father's money. But when I looked past my knee-jerk reaction, I recognized the truth in Sloane's words. I had no idea what it was like to live without that financial cushion. And to be honest, the thought terrified me. The only thing that made me feel less like a hypocrite was the fact I wouldn't keep all the money. But that was a secret I kept to myself for now. I glanced at Kai. Our social circles overlapped in the way most of Manhattan societies did. But I didn't know him well. He had a dry sense of humor I appreciated the hell out of, though. And more importantly, he was best friends with Dante Russo, who'd somehow landed on my inheritance committee. Dante hadn't replied to Eduardo's email or reached out save for a polite condolence note. Did he even know he was in my father's will? Most likely, which made his silence all the more suspicious. "Have you talked to Dante recently?" I asked, abandoning subtlety in favor of directness. A knowing smile tugged at the corner of Kai's mouth. If Dante made it his job to know everything, Kai's job was to know everything. I wouldn't be surprised if he'd gotten his hands on the will before I touched down in New York. "We spoke yesterday," he said, his tone mild. "Why?" "No reason." I drummed my fingers on the counter, running through the committee members for the dozenth time. Sloane was on my side. But she wouldn't lie if my business turned out to be crap in 6 months. Eduardo and Tio Martin would give me as much grace as they could. Mariana hated my fucking guts. Dante, well, he was the wild card. Luca's brother wasn't my biggest fan, but could I trust him to be fair regardless of his feelings toward me? Javier, I'm not a journalist after a story. What we discuss is strictly private. Kai paused, then added, I speak with Sloane often. I understand how to keep confidentiality. It suddenly clicked. That was why Kai was suddenly so interested in my affairs. Since Sloane was the one who discovered the loophole in the will, she'd taken it upon herself to act as my unofficial business consultant. My inheritance clause wasn't a secret, though the committee members were. She must have said something to either Vivian, Dante, Kai, or all of the above. The wheels started spinning. If I was serious about starting a new company, I needed allies, and the CEO of the young corporation was one of the most powerful allies I could get. As a matter of fact, I said, piecing together a plan on the spot, there is something I want to discuss with you. 2 hours and several drinks later, Kai left for another meeting while I headed upstairs to the library. It was the heart of the club, and it buzzed with activity as people forged deals, cemented alliances, and shared intel. However, no one paid me any mind as I took a seat at the grand center table directly beneath the founding family's panels, where my mother's bare family crest was carved in between the Russo's dragon and the Young's lion. I retrieved the watch from my pocket and rubbed a thumb over the smooth gold case, my mind churning from my conversation with Kai and the events of the past week. Fact number one. There was no way my father could have overlooked something as basic as naming the company in his will. Granted, he'd been deathly ill when he changed it, which wasn't an inconsiderable factor. But if he had been aware of the omission, what was his endgame? To make me do something even if it wasn't what he wanted? No, my father would never be that compromising. Last option dismissed. Fact number two. On paper, I had 6 months to figure my shit out. In reality, I should have figured it out yesterday. Starting a solid business in New York in that short amount of time was near impossible. Fact number three. If I didn't at least try, I would regret it forever. Out of all life's questions, what if was one of the worst. There's potential in each and every one of us, and I hope you fulfill yours to the point of happiness. My chest clenched. Would my mother think I'd fulfilled my potential? Probably not, but fuck, I missed her. I always did, but it used to be a dull, steady ache that hummed in the background. Ever since I read her letter, it had been a knife that lanced through me, frequently and often. I'd never stopped blaming myself for what happened to her. It didn't matter what my childhood therapists or grief counselors said. Guilt wasn't bound by reason or technicalities. That being said, I couldn't change the past. I could, however, dictate my future. Be proud of the person you've become and the person you'll grow into. I pulled out the sheet of paper Kai had handed me before he left. Like me, he'd been born into wealth, but his position hadn't been handed to him. He'd worked his way up from the mailroom to the head position at the Young Corporation, and his circle was a who's who of the corporate world. My contacts could get anyone an invite to any party and access to any club, but his contacts could help build an empire. I stared at the list of names he'd scribbled down. In order to be a CEO, I needed a team. To hire a team, I needed a plan. To execute that plan, I required funding and legitimacy. My reputation as a partier worked against me, which meant I needed a partner people respected. Someone reliable, established, trustworthy, and relevant to the business I had in mind. There was only one man in Manhattan who fit that description. I dialed the first number on the list. It was his private line, and he picked up on the first ring. "This is Javier Castillo," I said, hoping to God I wouldn't regret this down the road. "Are you free next week? I'd like to talk."
Chapter 18. Sloane. I'm sorry. Back the fuck up. Isabella held up one hand. You can't not elaborate on Spain. What happened with Javier after he carried you out like an extremely hot caveman? I sighed, regretting my decision to fill my friends in on the past 2 weeks. I'd flown to Spain at the beginning of the month, but it felt like a lifetime ago. That's your takeaway? Did you miss the part about Alberto Castillo's death? Yes, it's very sad, Isabella said. Now, about the beach, what did he say? Was he jealous? Vivian added. Did you two kiss? Alessandra asked. I glared at them, wishing past me had had the foresight to befriend less nosy people. I'm not telling you what he said. He has no reason to be jealous, and absolutely not, I said, appalled. He's a client. The four of us were enjoying happy hour with homemade cocktails, takeout, and a new rom-com at my apartment. Normally we'd go out, but I was too tired after work and my recent travels. Looking back, I would have canceled our plans had I known I would be subjected to an interrogation. Technically, his family is your client. It's not the same thing, and you should totally kiss him. He's so cute. Isabella stretched her arms over her head and glanced fondly at my goldfish, whom she'd taken care of during my time abroad. He was a temporary pet I'd adopted after the previous tenant left him behind 5 years ago, hence why I'd simply named him the fish. There was no use attaching sentimentality to something that wouldn't last. Regardless, I wouldn't kiss Javier Castillo if he were the last man on Earth, I said coolly. He is not my type. He's also gorgeous and kind and smarter than people give him credit for, a voice sang in my head. I pressed the tip of my pen against my notepad with more force than necessary. Shut up. Sure, Javier and I had reached a tentative understanding after Colombia, and yes, I was helping him fulfill the inheritance clause, which might be ethically murky since I was on the committee, but the will never stated members couldn't assist. Besides, from a PR perspective, the story of a prodigal party son turned responsible business owner was gold, so I was technically just doing my job. Sure, the same annoying voice tittered. That's why you're helping him. Because of your job. I said, shut up. I was so distracted by the shit stirrer in my head that I almost missed Alessandra's next words. Maybe he's not your type, but never say never. Her blue eyes twinkled with mischief. I think he has a thing for you. I've seen him staring at you at multiple events over the years. He can't look away. Not you too. I gave up writing my review and exchanged my pen for wine. We're not in middle school. He doesn't have a thing for me, and he stares at me because, well, who knows why he does the things he does? The twinkle grew brighter. If you say so. She sounded suspiciously like my internal voice. Isabella, Vivian, and I had been a trio for years before we brought Alessandra into the fold, but she fit into the group seamlessly. I liked her as much as I could like any human, most of whom were deeply unlikable, but I did not appreciate being ganged up on. Perry Wilson never elaborated on that beach picture he posted, Isabella mused. God, we never see the good stuff. Don't talk to me about Perry Wilson. I was still devising a plan to dethrone that sniveling, slandering toad. Mark my words, by this time next year, his blog will be dead. I'll make sure of it. No friend ever served me, and no enemy ever wronged me, whom I have not repaid in full. Lucius Cornelius Sulla's self-written epitaph. There was a reason it was one of my favorite quotes. Anyway, on to cheerier topics, I said. How's Josephine? Josephine, or Josie, was Vivian and Dante's daughter. She was less than 2 months old, and she already had her parents wrapped around her tiny finger. She's great. I mean, she cries all the time, and I haven't had a proper night's sleep in a month, but... A smile touched Vivian's lips. It's worth it. I suppressed a grimace. Josie was adorable, but if I didn't love her and her mother so much, the mushiness would make me gag. It's hard being away from her, but she's in good hands. Greta fusses over her like she's her own daughter, Vivian added. Greta was her housekeeper and Dante's de facto mother since his parents were too busy gallivanting around the world to be, well, parents. And Dante? Isabella's eyes sparkled. How's he doing? He thinks Josie or I will break if he looks away for more than 5 minutes. Vivian rolled her eyes, but her voice was filled with affection. Did I tell you he tried to hire bodyguards to stand outside her room 24/7? I swear. My phone pinged with a new text while my friends teased her about Dante's legendary overprotectiveness. He terrified pretty much everyone around him, but when it came to his wife and daughter, he was a teddy bear.
Javier, can you meet me at Valhalla in an hour? I have some important updates. Javier, P.S., I talked to Kai.
My heart skipped a beat. I wasn't sure if I'd overstepped by asking Kai for help, but I trusted him, and Javier needed assistance beyond what I could give. Important updates. Did that mean he'd committed to a plan? I'd held off on pushing him about it because, one, I had a ton of work to catch up on at the office, and two, I didn't want to spook him. But the clock was ticking, and he needed to get moving if he wanted to meet the May deadline. Sloane, everything okay? Alessandra asked. Yes. I tore my eyes from my phone. Everything's fine. As curious as I was about Javier's updates, it was girls' night. He could wait. An hour and a half later, I arrived at Valhalla. By a stroke of coincidence, Vivian had to leave our movie night early because Josie couldn't go to sleep without her. Then a very drunk Isabella had tried to take the fish out of his aquarium and pet him, which was when Alessandra took her firmly by the hand and escorted her home.
You know how to keep a guy waiting,
Javier drawled as I approached. I wasn't a club member, so he had to meet me at the entrance and bring me inside. He leaned against a marble column, the picture of casual devastation in a white cashmere sweater and jeans. Despite the fall chill, he was coatless, and his sweater contrasted sharply with the richness of his tan. As I approached, Javier's eyes swept over my black coat dress, tights, and boots, and back up again, where they lingered on my face just long enough to make my cheeks heat. I told you I would be late, I said as a passing breeze ruffled in his hair in the most distracting manner. Though I don't understand why you insisted on updating me in person when texts, phone calls, and emails exist. I fell into step beside him and deliberately focused on the impressive foyer instead of the man beside me. I'd visited Valhalla as a guest a few times, but its splendor never failed to amaze. Gourmet restaurants, a Regency-worthy ballroom, a world-class spa, a helipad in case a member was arriving by air, and an exclusive slip at Chelsea Piers in case they were arriving by water. No detail went unchecked.
True, but then I wouldn't get to see you.
Javier's dimples made a dazzling appearance. The heat spread from my cheeks to my neck. I'd never had a problem thinking clearly when he was around, but a dangerous haze permeated the brain as we ascended the staircase to the second floor. I blamed my friends. They'd put the stupid idea of a kiss in my head, and now I can't stop picturing the press of his lush, sensual mouth against mine and the... No. Stop it. This is deeply inappropriate behavior. Stop flirting and get to the point, I snapped for my benefit as much as his. I deliberately kept a foot of distance between us, but my nerve endings sparked and sizzled like live wires in the rain. What are the quote-unquote important updates? God, I shouldn't have worn this stupid dress. I was roasting in cashmere.
I've decided what I want to do.
We stopped in front of carved oak double doors. Javier turned the knobs, the lean muscles of his arms flexing at the movement. Stop noticing his arms.
I'm opening a nightclub.
The doors swung open noiselessly, revealing a gorgeous library that put the one from Beauty and the Beast to shame. Normally, it'd be heaven, but my feet remained rooted to the hall, a line etched between Javier's brows.
Sloan?
A nightclub, I repeated. My heart beat double time. That's brilliant. If there was one thing he knew and knew well, it was parties, entertainment, and his bar design sketches. The answer had been obvious all along.
Yeah, you think so?
Vulnerability touched his face for a moment before retreating behind a smile.
It's actually a mixed concept, kind of like Legends, except less sports-oriented.
Legends was a well-known night spot owned by former college football star and Heisman winner Blake Ryan, and it was the preferred watering hole for many top athletes. I love that, I said honestly. As an unapologetic multitasker, I appreciated anything that served multiple functions.
Come on, I want to show you something.
Javier led me deeper into the library, which was nearly empty this late at night. On any other day, I would have been enraptured by the forest of leather-bound books and rare stained glass windows, but I was too intrigued by Javier's plan. We stopped at a massive table anchoring the center of the room. A spill of papers scattered across the mahogany surface, and I recognized Javier's distinctive scrawl from several feet away.
I've been here since the afternoon,
he said.
I ran into Kai at the bar and our conversation got me thinking.
He handed me a printout of the top 10 clubs in the world.
What do these have in common?
Music and alcohol? Javier fixed me with a wry stare.
Besides that?
I have no idea. I knew enough to do my job, but I wasn't a nightlife aficionado.
Interesting locations, signature features, a tightly targeted clientele, and yes, great music and drinks.
Javier tapped the printout, his eyes brightening the more he talked.
This is Manhattan. Night spots come and go every week. To stand out, you need something that makes people talk. Something they haven't seen before that they'll automatically associate with you.
His voice lowered.
Picture it, Luna. A club that's tucked away, hidden behind an unassuming door. The type you walk past every day without a second thought. But when you walk in, it's a different world. You don't just hear the thump of the bass. You feel it in your bones. The music, the rhythm, the laughter. The lights are low and you can practically smell the pheromones in the air.
His words took on a hypnotic cadence, transforming the stately library around us into a den of hedonism, of sensual touches and insistent beats, and beautiful bodies grinding against each other amidst a backdrop of velvet and liquor. My breath shortened. Blood rushed to the surface of my skin, warming it to an uncomfortable degree. I was suddenly hyper-aware of Javier's proximity, and when he spoke again, the velvety timbre sent a shot of pure dopamine through my system.
Everyone around you is lost in the intoxication of the moment,
he said softly.
There are no worries, only wants. Every corner is an opportunity for clandestine meetings. Every drink is another step away from the real world. That's the true secret to a memorable nightclub. The minute you step inside, you're not in a club. You're in a place where anything can happen with anyone.
His voice lowered even further.
Whatever your greatest desire, you have a chance to realize it. All you have to do is let go.
All you have to do is let go. Call me delusional, but I could have sworn he wasn't talking about the club anymore. His gaze rained embers on my face, dark and hot and knowing. My head swam like I'd downed half a dozen of the drinks he'd mentioned. And though we were still at Valhalla, surrounded by serious-looking men and women in suits, my senses ignited like we were somewhere else. Somewhere secluded, where we... The library doors opened to a loud peal of laughter. Glares swung toward the entrance, where the newcomers quickly quieted, still grinning. But the interruption was enough to restore my rationality. It washed over me like a cold shower, wiping away the haze Javier's words had induced. He was my client, and we were discussing business. That was all. I took a tiny step back and forced a cool smile. Spoken like a business graduate. I examined the list again, hoping he hadn't noticed my temporary loss of control. Do you have a location idea and business plan in the works? Javier's eyes gleamed with amused knowledge, but he didn't call me out.
Yes, the location will be tough to get, but Kai gave me some useful contacts.
He retrieved another paper from the table. My heart skipped a beat when I saw the list. There were only 8 names, but they were the only 8 that mattered for his purposes. This is impressive, I said, for lack of a better word. Have you spoken to any of them yet?
Only the first one. We have a meeting scheduled in 2 weeks.
The first and arguably most intimidating one. God, every entrepreneur in the country would kill for a team like this. I knew Kai would pull through. He'd been skeptical about Javier, but I'd finally convinced him after pointing out what a great profile it would make for Mode de Vie's annual Movers and Shakers issue.
Also, thank you for talking to Kai for me.
Javier's face softened.
You didn't have to do that.
Just like that, a soft hum buzzed to life in my veins again. You don't have to thank me. I deliberately avoided his eyes as I set the papers down on the table. That was the easy part. Opening a club in 6 months in Manhattan? That's the hard part.
Don't I know it?
He said with a rueful laugh.
But I have a plan which is more than I had a week ago.
I'm glad. My smile formed of its own accord. His father had forced his hand, but Javier appeared genuinely excited about the project. Okay, maybe excited was pushing it, but he was committed.
Anyway, I wanted to show you since this was your idea.
Javier gestured at the remaining documents, which contained notes, scribbles, and ideas for the club.
If it weren't for you...
His face softened further.
I don't know where I'd be.
The hum in my blood intensified. I attempted a witty reply, but a strange haze permeated the air and robbed me of speech. It was different from the one earlier, when he'd been talking about the club. It was thicker, more potent, and I was suddenly, painfully aware of how empty the library had gotten, of how close Javier stood, of how his body heat sank into my skin, urging me to step closer, just a little bit. So my chest pressed against his, and I could discover for myself whether his hair felt as soft as it looked between my fingers. It's the alcohol. Never mind the fact I'd had my last drink 2 hours ago, or that it had become my default excuse. It was the only plausible explanation for why I was feeling these things around Javier Castillo, of all people.
Sloane.
His quiet voice made my name sound like a caress. Yes? The breathlessness that escaped sounded nothing like me. It belonged to a stranger, the type who would succumb to dimples and broad shoulders and eyes the color of rich, melting chocolate.
You should leave.
A rough edge turned his words into a warning. He was right. I should. It was late, and I had to finish writing my movie review and my mind blanked. Why? Another shiver ran down my neck when the distance between us shortened by another inch.
Because it's late,
Javier said softly.
And because...
He trailed off when I licked my lips in a brief, involuntary movement. His gaze latched onto my mouth, and my parched throat dried even more. The world narrowed to this very moment, beneath the dim lights of the library, listening to our escalating breaths sync with each other. And when he let out a tortured fuck and dipped his head, molding his mouth to mine, it didn't even occur to me to pull away. This was the world, and I never wanted to leave. Logic and reasoning fell to tatters in the scorching tangle of lips and teeth. One hand grabbed my nape and pulled me closer. The other splayed across my back, burning through cashmere and skin to turn me boneless. My mouth parted in a moan, and his tongue pushed inside, caressing mine in strokes so lazy and sensual, I couldn't tell where one ended and the other began. He tasted like an addictive combination of heat and spices, and the warmth of his touch curled through my stomach, between my thighs, and traveled all the way down to my toes. I didn't know how long we stayed there, but it was enough for me to slide my fingers through his hair and confirm that yes, it really was that soft, and yes, he really did taste that good, and no, I'd never, ever come this close to unraveling. I would have happily drowned in the embrace, but reality intervened as it always did, and we broke apart with a gasp for breath. We stared at each other, our chests heaving. My lips tingled in the aftermath, and the air felt like ice water after the heat of our kiss. A hint of red glazed Javier's cheekbones. I noticed with some embarrassment that his lips were swollen and... Fuck. I did that. We did that. I'd let him... This time, reality wasn't so much a gentle slip as it was a slap in the face. Every muscle locked as the implications of what just happened crashed over me. I'd just kissed a client. Not only a client, but someone whose inheritance I was 1/5 in charge of thanks to some stupid fucking will I'd never asked to participate in. Dread curdled in my gut. Javier must have picked up on my mood shift because his shoulders tensed to match mine.
Sloan.
I have to go. I grabbed my purse, which had fallen to the ground sometime during our kiss. We'll discuss your business plan later. I spun around and scrambled out of the library before he had a chance to respond. The thunder of my pulse followed me all the way downstairs, out the door, and across the grounds to Valhalla's gated entrance. I'd just told my friends Javier wasn't my type, and then I'd gone and done that. What the hell was I thinking? I hadn't been thinking. That was the problem. I'd let my hormones take the wheel, and they'd driven me straight to Stupidville. It's the dry spell, I said aloud. Either that, or Isabella had acquired a magical ability to manifest anything she said into reality. Normally, I'd be terrified. She read way too much dinosaur erotica to safely possess such a power. But I would rather deal with that than consider the remaining explanation. I, Sloane Kensington, was attracted to Javier Castillo. No, not just attracted to, but liked. Enough to forget my strict rules about not getting involved with clients. Enough to let him kiss me and to kiss him back. I groaned and pressed the heels of my hands against my eyes. I'm so fucked.
Chapter 19. Javier. Kissing Sloane had been a mistake. Not because I regretted doing it, but because once I did it, I couldn't imagine not doing it again. It had been a week since the library, and I still couldn't get her out of my mind. The warmth of her skin, the softness of her lips, the way her curves fit against my body like they were made for me. She'd smelled like fresh snow and lavender and tasted like heaven. And I couldn't even pass by a damn bakery without remembering how sweet her mouth had been against mine. I had a ton of important business meetings lined up over the next 2 weeks, but our kiss had taken my focus hostage. The physical attraction had been there since we met, but besides lighthearted flirting, I never made a move before Valhalla. I told myself I didn't want to complicate our relationship or fuck up the terms of my allowance, when in reality, a part of me suspected that giving into that attraction would spell the end for me. Then we'd started working together, and I'd discovered the layers beneath her rigid exterior. The intelligence, the conviction, the fierce loyalty to those she cared about. And I no longer suspected but knew, especially after that kiss, that Sloane Kensington was it. Just like that. The only problem was I doubted she felt the same way. And even if she did feel the same way, her defenses were so locked down she'd never admit it.
Are you listening to me?
She dragged my thoughts away from their brooding and back to the task at hand. Of course. I flashed an easy smile that was more muscle memory than emotion. We were at her office in Midtown. It was our first time meeting in person since the library, and Sloane had jumped right into business like our kiss never happened. I'd expected it, but it prickled nonetheless.
What did I just say?
She crossed her arms. I need to get the ball rolling on licenses, location, and staffing. I should meet with Dante. I have a preliminary phone interview with Maud Devi about this new venture, and as a courtesy, the chairwoman of Castillo Group's board has sent me a short list of CEO candidates. A genuine grin peeked out at her frown. Do I get a gold medal?
For doing the bare minimum? No.
She tapped her tablet.
Okay, let's go over the PR strategy for the grand opening. I realize this may be putting the cart before the horse, but if everything goes smoothly, the event is in 6 months. People's calendars are probably already booked, but I'll make it work. We want a curated group of influencers and tastemakers in attendance, and if you insist on bringing your friends, you need to get them under control. I don't want to see Tilly Denman stealing gift bags again.
Is it really a party if Tilly isn't her usual kleptomaniac self? I yawned, already bored. I would rather bury myself in logistics than publicity. We've been at this for hours. Let's have lunch.
It's 11 a.m.
Then let's have brunch. Sloane's frown deepened.
Be serious. I'm trying to help you.
I am serious. Jillian, I called out. Her assistant poked her head into the room.
Yes?
Has Sloane eaten yet?
She had a banana and black coffee for breakfast,
Jillian said.
That was right when I came into the office, so around 7:45.
Thank you, darling.
Anytime.
She beamed at me, ignoring her boss's death glare before a ringing phone drew her back to her desk. I faced Sloane again. A banana and coffee doesn't last 3 hours. We need fuel. I pulled out my phone, already ordering an Uber. Come to brunch with me and I'm all yours afterward. I'll even go through that list of invitees one by one.
I have other work commitments besides you.
Sure, but not today. Jillian mentioned she cleared your calendar this afternoon so you can catch up on emails, and you can do that anywhere. Sloane's lips seemed together, but she eventually relented. 20 minutes later, the hostess seated us at Café Amélie, one of the many restaurants in Laurent's dining empire. I'd attended boarding school with Sebastian Laurent, and I had a guaranteed seat at any of their establishments. We placed our orders. I added bottomless mimosas, much to Sloane's disapproval, but hey, brunch wasn't brunch without champagne. And Café Amélie was one of those blessed places that served a bottomless supply. Outside the office, fortified by the drinks and protected by the chatter of other diners, I finally broached the elephant in the room. We had to talk about it eventually. I would rather talk about it now than wait for it to blow up in the future. About what happened the other day. Sloane stiffened.
Don't. This isn't the appropriate place or time to discuss it.
We're drinking mimosas in public on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. I can't think of a better place or time to discuss it. Our server brought our food. Sloane waited for her to leave before she replied.
Fine. Here's how I see it.
She cut into her pancakes with controlled precision.
Emotions were running high, and a client kissed me in the heat of the moment. I didn't shut it down immediately, and that was on me. But now, it's over and done with. Time to move on with our lives and focus on what's important, work. Namely, my capacity as your publicist.
She emphasized the last word.
And your inheritance clause.
Despite her cool response, a faint wash of color edged her cheeks and the bridge of her nose. I've never heard you so verbose. I tore off a piece of bread and tossed it in my mouth. I chewed and swallowed before musing. Trying to bury your feelings with more words, Luna?
I promise, there are better places to live than in delusion.
Better? Maybe. More fun? I doubt it. I leaned forward, my face sobering. I'm sorry if I crossed the line the other night. If I truly made you uncomfortable, I'll back off. But tell me the truth. Did you enjoy the kiss? Sloane's color heightened.
That's irrelevant.
I beg to differ. When it comes to kissing, enjoyment is very much relevant.
For any other pair, maybe. For us, it's irrelevant because I refuse to compromise my professional integrity by engaging in inappropriate activities with a client.
She stabbed a piece of pancake with her fork for emphasis. It's the 21st century and you're your own boss. It's not like you'll get fired.
My reputation is at stake.
Your reputation is sterling. No one would dare say a word against you. It was easy to fall back on the work excuse. And in a way, I got it. Sloane had more to lose than I did if we got involved. But in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't a deal breaker. Other couples in similar situations had figured it out. Look at Eldora's royal couple. They had a centuries-old law working against them, and now they're happily married.
I'm not a princess, you're not my bodyguard, and they were in love,
Sloane said flatly.
It's different.
Every love starts with a kiss. I was pushing her close to the limit, but I'd always regret it if I didn't try. Comfort was easy, but I was starting to realize that easy wasn't always the right answer. If it were, I would have taken the CEO position at the Castillo Group instead of formulating an impossible plan to open a New York nightclub in 6 months. Screw it. If I was going to do this, I might as well go all in. Go on a date with me, I said. Her eyes flared with an unidentifiable emotion before they shuddered.
No.
Why not? And forget about your job for a second. Give me a real reason, Sloane. Her fingers curled tight around her fork. Odds were she was picturing stabbing me with it, but I didn't mind a little hypothetical violence. It kept things interesting. The noise from the dining room retreated as I waited for an answer. Beneath my casual exterior, my heart fought to break out of my chest. I'd never felt this nervous over someone ever. I knew I was speeding into this with no clear view of the consequences. I knew I should focus on the club instead of my personal life, and I knew I might have fucked up the tentative understanding Sloane and I had reached in Colombia. I knew all this, yet I didn't care. I wanted her too much, and I wanted this, whatever this was, to work. Even if it didn't, I had to at least try. She opened her mouth. I tensed, every muscle poised for... Sloane, is that you? An unfamiliar and deeply unwelcome voice fractured the moment. Our heads swiveled in unison toward the interloper. Buzzcut, tanned skin, bulging muscles. He looked like the type of guy who spent half his life chugging protein shakes and working out. He wore a black t-shirt and jeans and stared at Sloane in a way that made me want to punch him in his generically handsome face. Excuse us, but we're in the middle of a conversation, I said. I usually wasn't so rude to strangers, but there was something about this guy that I instantly disliked. You haven't answered any of my calls or texts, he said, ignoring me. What's going on? Sloane stared at him, her face frozen. She seemed too stunned to answer. I'm sorry, but who are you? I didn't bother hiding my irritation this time. Protein Shake glanced at me, his eyes narrowing as he took me in. I'm her boyfriend, asshole. Who the hell are you?
Chapter 20. Sloane. I'd worked with Javier for years, and I'd never seen him angry. Frustrated, yes. Annoyed, definitely. But angry? No. Until now. The shift in his countenance was subtle but unmistakable. The tightening of his jaw, the glint in his eyes, the way his muscles coiled. He was seconds away from losing his temper, and I needed to take control fast before we landed ourselves on Perry fucking Wilson's blog again. He's not my boyfriend. I finally found my words and pinned an annoyed glare at the man standing across from me. Since you asked, I haven't answered your calls or texts because I already made it clear. We're over.
I thought you were joking. We had such a good thing going. Why would you want to end it?
Mark demanded. He appeared genuinely baffled. Oh, for Christ's sake. This was what I got for indulging in a regular hookup instead of one-night stands. I didn't want a relationship, but I had physical needs like everyone else, and having a consistent booty call was easier than wading into the sewage of online dating or waiting for lightning to strike in real life. The problem? Men always got so attached. Sleep with them a couple of times, and they suddenly thought we were going to ride off into the sunset together. I didn't even like sunsets. They were depressing. I told you our time together has expired. I looked around for our server. There had to be a rule against unlawful loitering at diners' tables. Now, as Javier mentioned, we were in the middle of a conversation. Please leave. My talk with Javier had been uncomfortable, off-putting, and surprising in a multitude of ways, but I'd rather spend the entire day rehashing our kiss than speak with Mark. I'd broken things off with him right before Greece. We met when he was bartending at the happy hour spot my friends and I frequented. And we hooked up for a few months until he booked us a weekend getaway at a bed and breakfast. That was when I knew it was over.
Oh, come on.
Mark wheedled. If I hadn't been sure we were over before, I was now. There was nothing more unattractive than a grown man whining.
If you, she said, leave.
Javier cut him off, his voice lethally soft. He hadn't moved since Mark called himself my boyfriend, but his eyes smoldered with deadly warning. Despite his relaxed pose, one arm tossed over the back of the booth and the other resting on the table, tension filled every line of his body. He resembled a predator lying in the weeds, waiting to strike. A shiver breathed cold down my spine. Javier wasn't the violent type, but I had a gut feeling that if he and Mark went head to head, one of them would end up on the ground, and it'd be the one standing right now.
This doesn't involve you,
Mark snapped, but he took a tiny step to the right, away from Javier.
I still don't know who the fuck you are. You don't need to know who I am.
Javier's affable smile didn't reach his eyes.
You do, however, need to take a hint. Sloan broke up with you and you didn't listen. She told you to leave and you didn't listen. That's two strikes. I highly suggest you don't make a third.
Some people's anger ran hot, exploding in outbursts and impulsive violence. Javier's ran cold, smoothing his tone, frosting the air, and sending another breathless shiver over my skin. I could and did take care of myself. I didn't want to play the damsel in distress, and I didn't need a man barging in to reiterate things I'd already said. But fuck, sometimes it felt good to have backup, especially when it came wrapped in muscles and devastating charm. Mark's gaze slid from Javier to me and back again. Whatever he saw in our faces must have spooked him, because he turned tail and fled without another word. My fork clattered against my plate when he disappeared from view. I'd clutched it in a death grip this entire time, and the metal left a cold imprint against my skin. Javier dropped his arm from the booth, tension unwinding from his body like a spool of rope. The dangerous gleam vanished from his eyes, and he observed me for a quiet moment.
Luna,
he said,
you have unequivocally shitty taste in past men.
I groaned, already over this day, even though it was only noon. Thank you for brunch, but we're done here. I tossed a 20 on the table for tip, grabbed my bag, and stood. He knew about my cleared calendar. Damn it, Jillian. If she weren't such a great assistant otherwise, I would fire her for sharing that information with Javier. Emails to check.
I certainly hate to keep you from your emails, but we haven't finished our earlier conversation as you kindly pointed out to Meathead Central.
Javier flagged down our server and paid our bill before following me out of the restaurant.
Give me a good reason why we can't date besides our working relationship.
That should be enough reason. I purposely turned away from him and scanned the street for a passing cab. A quick phone check told me it would be faster than trying to hail an Uber.
Working relationships come and go, Luna. Personal ones don't.
A small pause.
At least they shouldn't.
Are you firing me?
No, I'm saying we can work around the publicist-client thing. Hell, we can watch one of those rom-coms you love, or love to hate watch so much for inspiration.
Javier amended when I glared at him.
Hollywood must have come up with a dozen strategies for this sort of thing.
I told you, rom-coms are unrealistic. Hollywood isn't real life. I whirled to face him. You just told Mark to know when to take a hint. Why are you being so insistent about this?
Because I want you.
Simple, matter of fact, and a fierce, unexpected blow to my chest. The air evacuated from my lungs as I stared at Javier. His eyes and mouth had sobered, wiping away the irreverence and leaving only sincerity behind.
I don't want a kiss or a one-night stand,
he said.
I want you. I want to know you outside work. I want to take you on real dates. And I don't know if it'll work out in the end, but I want us to at least try.
For God's sake, Sloan, no one wants to date a block of ice. A thick sensation crawled into my throat and curled up there. Trust me. I strangled my bag strap with one hand. You don't want to know me outside work. When I was working, no one blamed me for being cold or direct. They expected it. When I was dating, that was a whole different matter.
Let me be the judge of that.
Javier's voice softened.
What are you so afraid of?
A wretched tingle spread behind my eyes and nose. Nothing. I averted my gaze to the street, where honking cars and jaywalking pedestrians provided enough stimulation to obscure my real answer. I'm afraid of letting someone in again. I'm afraid of getting my heart broken. I'm afraid that if you get to know the real me, you'll find me unlovable like everyone else. And it'll hurt so much more because it's you. My past was my past. I'd been young, stupid, and inexperienced, and I'd dated plenty of other men since my first heartbreak. I hadn't been afraid of giving them a chance because I knew they wouldn't breach my defenses. Javier? He had the potential to destroy the entire system.
Sloan.
His light touch seared my arm.
Look at me.
No. I hardened my resolve and thrust out my arm to hail a passing cab. We'll go over your PR plan later. I'm taking the rest of the day off. By that, I meant I was going to catch up on my emails at home, take a nice long bubble bath, indulge in a glass of wine and a movie, and not think about Javier Castillo in any way, shape, or form. The cab screeched to a halt in front of me. I opened the door and climbed in. Javier climbed in after me. What are you doing? I demanded. This is breaking and entering.
It's a cab.
That you're breaking and entering into. I rapped my knuckles against the divider separating us from the front seat. You have an intruder in your car. I don't know this man. Please dispose of him immediately. The driver glanced in the rearview mirror, unimpressed.
Weren't you just talking to him a second ago?
He was talking to me.
We were talking to each other,
Javier corrected. The driver released a huge sigh.
Look, lady, I don't got time to deal with a lover's spat. You want to go or not?
We're not—
She wants to go. Just keep driving around until we say otherwise.
Javier slipped a $100 bill through the opening in the divider.
A pre-tip for your service. Thanks, man.
The driver snatched the bill from his hand and sped off. This is kidnapping, I said furiously. You are committing a crime.
You broke into my room twice in the past month, so consider us even.
Javier smiled, but his eyes remained serious.
You can't keep running from the hard stuff, Luna. Eventually, you'll have to face what you're so afraid of.
That's ironic, coming from you. Javier had spent half his life avoiding responsibility. He was the last person who should lecture me on running.
True,
he acknowledged.
But I'm working on it.
I didn't have a good answer to that. I slumped against my seat, suddenly exhausted. It was too much. Spain, Colombia, seeing Penn, getting my father's email and finding out my sister was pregnant, kissing Javier. The past month's bombshells had hammered dent after dent into my walls, and I was so tired of holding them up.
If you truly didn't feel anything during our kiss, I'll stop the car right now, and we'll never discuss this again.